Let me bid everyone welcome again, express appreciation for your being here, and we always say that, but we say it sincerely. It's just good to get together. So appreciate your attendance very, very much this morning. There's an outline in the bulletin if you'd like to follow along. The subject matter comes from the text that was read to us. We've titled this lesson, The Judgment of God. The Judgment of God. And in the text, it reveals the certainty of eternal judgment. It also reveals the standard for judgment. And also that judgment is righteous. In verse 1, there's an interesting phrase. It says, thou art inexcusable. No excuses. O man, whosoever thou art, that judges. Why? In other words, because we make judgments, there's nothing we can say in our own defense, and we cannot say to others, you can't judge me. Wait a minute, I just made a judgment on you. So that means I'm without excuse. It gives you a reason to go ahead and make a judgment on me. And then the lesson will be, we cannot say the same thing to God. We can't look up and say, God, you shouldn't judge me. Because I've probably made judgments about God. Where were you when I needed you? Yeah. How come you're not near, God, when I think I'm in distress? Oh, we make judgments, haven't we? Someone, but I know someone's going to say, oh, I don't judge. I don't judge. Well, you ever criticized anybody for anything? Oh, yeah. Have you ever offered an opinion? Yeah. Ever made an evaluation? Ever made an assessment? Have you ever offered advice? You made a judgment. You ever expressed a like or a dislike? Ooh, did you see what they had on this morning? We make judgments all the time. You ever stated a preference for something? You ever stated your view about somebody else's choices? What were they thinking? We make judgments. And because we do this to others, and they do it to us, we judge. In fact, I sometimes judge the judges. You know, the one that judge at an event or a competition, I'll think, well, did you see that judge's conclusion? Or the umpire? Or the referee? Oh, that man wears glasses and he didn't see that? Yeah, we make judgments. And sometimes we're wrong in our judgments. We're unjust. And then we get some added information, and it's not very long till we have to offer an apology and say, oh, I didn't know that. I was wrong in my judgment. I didn't have all the information. Sometimes when we make our judgments on others, people respond back at us. And they judge us and say, oh, yeah, well, you're worse than I am. Or we make a judgment and they say, well, you're not so perfect. Or who are you to talk? Or we'll get a judgment back and someone will say, who made you the judge? What are your credentials? What makes you so qualified to make a judgment in our judgment? So the text reveals that we make judgments and therefore we should not make a judgment back to God and say, God, you shouldn't have a judgment day. Well, we make judgments so God can make judgments too. So the text reveals five things about God's judgment. And that's our lesson today. Number one is in verse 2. It says, we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth. Well, John 17, verse 17, in Jesus' own words, he says, thy word is truth. So we're going to be, the judgment of God is according to truth, then the judgment of God is according to his word. That's the basis for judgment. Jesus himself said it in John 12, verse 48. He says, he that rejects me and receives not my words has one that judges him. The word that I spake, the same will judge him in the last day. So when we appear before Jesus, the righteous judge, in the judgment day, and books are open, one book will specifically be open, and that will be the Bible, the Word of God, and you and I will be judged according to the Word of God, the Bible. And by the way, ignorance of the law is no excuse. You can't appear before Jesus, the righteous judge, I didn't know. You know when you go to another country and you break the law? See how that excuse works. Oh, I didn't know that was the law. The judge will say it's expected of you when you travel to another country to know the laws of that country. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. Oh, I didn't know the Word of God said that. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. Number two, concerning God's judgment, is in verse 3. It says, and thinkest thou this, in other words, is this what you're thinking? That you shall escape the judgment of God? He's asking, Paul is saying, do you really think, or do you figure, do you believe there's a mathematical chance that you can escape the judgment of God? Is that what you're thinking? You know, there's ways of escaping man's judgment. I put those in your notes. And sometimes we think because we can escape man's judgment, we can escape God's judgment. That's just what we're thinking. That's my judgment. My judgment is if I can get out of the judges of the land, I get out of the judgment of God. Got this jury duty summons. You know, they offered me 17 ways to get out of jury duty. They said, Brian, you can escape jury duty. If I can find one of these, it fits. Even number 17, you know, this person is deceased. Well, no, I'm here, but now, if you're deceased, that can get you out of jury duty. But it's not going to get you out of the judgment of God. Hebrews 9, verse 27 says, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. So even death is not, you can't escape God's judgment. And then I like this one in the jury duty, number 18, the last one. It just says other, and it gives me three lines to write my own excuse to get out of jury duty. That's one of them, Monica, that's right. So there's ways to get out. Jeremiah, but not God. Now here's ways that you can get out of man's judgment. I put four of them down. Number one, it's possible that the offense goes undetected. You know, it just remains unknown. And that's usually the attitude that motivates people to do the crime. We won't get caught. I can escape man's judgment because man won't find out what I did. Of course, Proverbs 15, verse 3 says, the eyes of the Lord are every place, beholding the good and evil. We're not going to escape God's judgment. God already knows. Number two, a possibility. It's possible for the guilty to escape beyond the bounds of jurisdiction. We've read that in newspaper reports every once in a while. You know, in a different corner, different corners of our world, there might be, there probably are someone. You know, might be living under an assumed name. And they fled there to escape the consequences of their crime. And according to our laws, we don't have the authority to go bring them back. In some places we do, that we can extradite them back, but not every place. Jonah tried to do that. You know, Jonah 1, verse 3, Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He said, I don't want to go preach to Nineveh. He thought he could just run from God and go to a place where God is not. Can't do that. Number three, another possibility. Person can be brought to trial and then still be free. Might be, I don't know all the reasons, might be a mistrial. Maybe the evidence was without substance. Maybe the jury wasn't unanimous. You know, things like that. But remember, God's judgment is according to truth. And there won't be any misrepresentations. It's according to truth. Then a fourth possibility to escape man's judgment is for the guilty to be sent to prison and then escape. I know people in prison are probably always looking forward to a time when they can get released or escape. One might escape hell if the devil were the doorkeeper. But the Bible offers no escape, no parole for time served. But people still think, well, this is the judgment of man. I know some ways around it. I think I can get out of God's judgment. So that's what the question is in verse 3. Do you really think that? That you can escape the judgment of God? Is that your theory? Your personal conviction? But there's no escape. A third description of the judgment of God is in verse 5. It's righteous judgment. Paul said in 2 Timothy, adding to this same thought, in 2 Timothy 4, verse 8, the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me in that day. And then he lists some things. The Lord, the righteous judge. Righteous, right, the definition of righteous is right in the word itself. It means that which is right or just. According to the book, it's righteous. It's without prejudice. It's without partiality. And even in verse 11 of our text, it says, there is no respect of persons with God. So the judgment of God is right. There won't be any misrepresentation or any fault. Now, our judgment, it's sometimes prejudicial. Our judgment's partial. I'm kind of soft-hearted sometimes toward things, and you deserve this, but I just can't bring myself to put that punishment on you. I'd probably rather give you a slap on the wrist or a stern lecture than give you what for. That's just the way we are. I'm partial. But woe to that person who thinks he's going to face a God of his own stature. If you think you're going to face a God who is going to operate from a human perspective, you need to think again. Sometimes in life, it makes a difference to an accused person to know who he's going to hear, who he or she is going to face in court. When I was a child, I'd rather go before my mom than my dad, if I had a choice. Told in the Old West, there was one judge known as the hanging judge. You want to go before him. On television, we have Judge Judy. You don't want to go before her. Paul said in Acts chapter 17, verse 30, the times of this ignorant God winked at, commands all men everywhere to repent. Because, why should I turn my life around? Why should I repent? He said, because he has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained, whereof he's given assurance to all men, and that he's raised him from the dead. The Lord, the righteous judge. A fourth characteristic of God's judgment is in verse 6. He will render to every man according to his deeds. And in this text that was read to us, it reveals the wrong and the right deeds that determine either God's wrath or God's peace. The wrong deeds that are recorded in the text, I'll pick up the story in verse 4. He says, or do you despise, meaning are you going to diminish this thought? Are you going to think it's ridiculous? Are you going to think what the next phrase is in the verse, you're going to think it's not important? Are you going to despise the next phrase of the verse? Are you going to think, it's never going to happen to me? Are you going to treat it lightly? So Paul says, do you despise, do you not think this is going to happen? Do you despise the riches of God's goodness, his forbearance, his long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? Verse 5. But after your hardness and impenitent heart. In other words, you're just not going to make a change. You're not going to turn from the wrong to the right. So are you going to despise the riches of God? Your hardness and impenitent heart. You treasure up for yourself wrath against the day of wrath and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Verse 8. To them that are contentious and do not obey the truth. Uh-oh. I need to obey the truth. It's in the text. And he says, if you don't obey the truth, you obey unrighteousness. In other words, you're not obeying that which is right. And you will reap indignation, wrath, tribulation, anguish, and it's on every soul of man that does evil. Uh-oh. The right deeds are listed too. Proper behavior. Verse 7. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing, who seek for glory and honor and immortality and eternal life, in verse 10, he says, it's glory, it's honor, and it's peace to everyone that works good. James 1, verse 22 says, be ye doers of the word. Remember, it's the word of God that judges us, the standard. Be doers of the word of God, and not hearers only. The last characteristic that's listed in the text for the judgment of God is in verse 16. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men. I thought I had that hidden. Oh, I hid that wrong deed so good. Nobody in life knows it, not friend or family. Nobody knows what I did except me. Well, then there's God too. And it's my partner in grind. Yeah, that's right. And whoever I tell that I got away with this, they know what I just did. And in the day of judgment, everybody will know because God's going to bring it up in judgment. Here's the verse. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. All right, what's the final word? Fear God and keep His commandments. But this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment. Okay, I got that. Oh, but then he adds, with every secret thing. Oh. Every secret thing. Yeah. Psalm 44, verse 20 says, if we've forgotten the name of our God, or we stretched out our hands to a strange God, shall not God search this out? For he knows the secrets of the heart. You know, don't think that's so unusual. And we have our radar, our x-ray, our Geiger counters, our sonar, our medical scans, all these detectors that allow others to see inside us and inside our luggage. Don't think it's strange that God can see our secret things, our hearts. Some things can be hidden from man, but they're not hidden from God. So those are the five things that come just from the text about the judgment of God. It's going to be according to truth, inescapable. It'll be righteous judgment according to how we've responded to the gospel message, and even will judge our secrets, things that we thought were hidden that no one knew. The last text I had written in your notes, at least part of the verse, to you who are troubled, Paul said, rest with us that the revelation of the Lord Jesus from heaven with his angels in flaming fire, rendering vengeance, and the text lists two classes of people, rendering vengeance first upon those that know not God and second upon those who obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text goes on and says, who shall suffer punishment, even eternal destruction from the presence of God and the glory of his might. And that's what we want to avoid, the wrath of God. Knowing these things about God's judgment, it should lead us and God's grace should lead us to repentance, to obey the gospel message. You're subject to that if you have done so already. Let's stand together, sing the song that Des has selected for. If that's your desire, go stand up.
So that's why at the close of a lesson, nobody, let's stand together and sing a song of invitation, a song of exhortation. And we're pleading and praying. And once you've heard that good news gospel message and you believe it, you're willing to turn your life around God's side. You're willing to confess your faith before witnesses that are gathered here. You can be baptized. Then rise to walk in newness of life. Now you're in the family of God. Forgiven of sins. Hope you have the hope of heaven within. Other blessings on that one action. And then we grow. So that's the invitation. If you're subject to it, if you haven't accomplished that, you want to ask brethren for strength or encouragement, step a seat beside me, and at the end of the song, I'll just ask you.